Yes, definitely. Compared with last year we were seeing it was sort of like a floor of about 15%. This year we're looking at the rate being maybe 12.5%, 13%, but the term has gone out. So if you factor that in together, you're almost looking at a 50% reduction, which is great for clients. I mean, they're obviously very pleased about that, but it's not so good for us because it's dropped too quickly. You know, I mean, there's an improvement, but the burning cost has gone, or failure rate has gone from maybe 15% to 13%. It hasn't gone to 10%. So, yes.
How can you pay out the $5 billion insurance and your yearly net income is about 600?
600. Well, that $5 billion is accumulated over 25 years. Although the majority of that has really happened only in the last 15 years, basically. Prior to really sort of early 80s, not much happened. Sorry, Andrew was next.
Given that many projects are cancelled,
yeah,
and that companies have invested often quite a lot of money, for example, in the Australian situation, FedSat, there are some companies investing large amounts of money in that, and suddenly the government changed their mind, so we're not going to put up FedSat. Can those companies insure their outlay? Such a risk.
Not with something like ourselves. A surprisingly high number of these satellite projects do come to fruition. That may not be the same going forward, because if you look at Iridium, Globalstar, Odyssey, there's another one, ICO, yeah, TRW, well, that's the Odyssey one. Odyssey looks to have fallen by the wayside, but Iridium's more than halfway there already. Globalstar has put together over $4 billion worth of financing. They'll probably do it. ICO, again, will probably happen. Whether they get their market share, that's another matter. But that type of insurance is covered into another area of sort of like political risk insurance. If somebody... One of the things that we do see now is the advent of commercial funding means that where some operators were willing to go uninsured, that doesn't happen very often anymore, because most of the funding is coming through commercial sources. Those people, the bankers, want to know that at least if the rocket blows up or the satellite fails once it gets up there, they're not going to get nothing back. They're going to at least to recover what they put in terms of the exposure. Sorry, Frank.
I thought it might be in good to stress that the Australian insurance industry has earned Australia $100 million or more in revenue over the last year.
Yep. No, that's,
yeah. That's a very large... industry.
Yeah, the income that we have earned as the Australian Space Insurance Group, and most of you know Kirby Icon as well, is basically that would not come to Australia if we didn't exist. And we've been, I mean, the good results have meant that money has stayed onshore for no other reason than the fact that we exist, if you like.
I so, ask, though, the
yes, ma'am.
Space
probably not. What I suspect might happen, though, is that there'll be individual parts or experiments or, you know, something that's shipped up to it. Like you've probably read of Kayser-3b, or however you say it. They've put various experiments on Russian satellites, and they've gone into orbit as part of another satellite. That has often been insured, so that if anything went wrong, you might recall there was one of those where the Russians recovered it okay, but as they were carrying it back under the helicopter, it fell off and got destroyed. So all of their experiment was wasted. It's the last couple of metres. The sudden stop always is a bit that kills, yes. Yeah, sorry, mate.
I've got a question. I don't know much about aerospace insurance. When you insure a satellite, do you basically just like park that money in a bank account, like waiting for the accident to happen? Or do insurance companies trade their exposure between each other somehow in order to spread their exposure?
Not really. I mean, it's a shared risk because we're only taking a small proportion of those satellites. As I said, if our capacity is only 1%, then in theory we can only take 1% of a high value risk.
You're just having entire satellites. If that satellite falls over, you rather than actually trading your exposure,
yeah,
having the
1%. Yeah. I mean, insurance companies do that across their portfolio. So they'll be doing space, they'll be doing airplanes, they'll be doing ships, they'll be doing this, they'll be doing that, you know, household motor, a whole range of things, and that's their process. In a sense, yeah. But, I mean, for us, our member companies People like NRMA, QBE, MMI, Mercantile Mutual, most of the private insurers in Australia have been involved at some point, and even some of the reinsurers, and we pay them money quarterly. So they've actually had the benefit of interest on that money ever since we've paid them for it, until the point when they have to make it, you know, pay a claim. So, Mike. Yeah.
Has there ever been a claim for damage
to people? No, not a claim as yet. But there was, of course, the recorded incident of the Ariane Spence, which was sort of basically a military satellite, and that was tracked on radar, basically. And what I understand happened was that it's a gravitational boom stabilized satellite, and initially they thought it wiped out the boom altogether, but it appears that it only took off like the bottom half or something like that, and they've actually been able to still use the satellite. The satellites that we're mostly insuring are at 36,000 kilometres, and the level of debris is, I won't say nothing, but it's like it's a different order of magnitude. With things like Iridium and Globalstar, that's definitely a major issue, because you are in the constellation of the debris, basically, out to like 2,000 kilometres. I can't remember the figures, actually, but one of the companies did a presentation at one of the conferences I was at in April, and they estimated that it was somewhere between, I think, from maybe up to a 1% chance. But, of course, for a geosynchronous satellite, all you've got to do is track the major pieces and make sure you don't launch when there's a constellation of debris coming over, because you're just going straight through.